The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Amen. So I'm teaching on how faith works. Amen. Like I always say, the subject of faith is such that you must master. I told you, for instance, if you've been listening to me, I say this all the time. There are two major areas, and those teachings will come up in this meeting. There are two major areas that every believer in Christ must master fully if he's going to have a successful Christian walk. The first area is the area of the leading of the Spirit, knowing how God leads. The second area is faith. These two areas, because if you don't know how God leads, you're going to make a lot of mistakes as a human being. The other area is faith. If you don't understand how faith works, many things that God has promised you will elude you. And let me tell you why. God is a God of grace. Now, hear what I'm going to say. God is a God of grace. Everything that God gives, he gives on the basis of his faith. Of his grace, rather. Everything on the basis of his grace. If God wants to give you salvation, just like Evangelist Ben was explaining. Were you blessed by that session? Did you learn something? Everything God wants to give you, he gives you based on his grace. His free will. Just like salvation. However, there is nothing that God gives to you by grace that you can accept with faith. So it is faith, by faith, that we assess the gift of God's grace. Let me explain it to you this way. Jesus came and died, right? Jesus died for us on the cross. Did you do anything for Jesus to die for you? No. Did you give any money for Jesus to die for you? No. Did you bribe anybody for Jesus to die for you? In fact, you were not even born when he died. It wasn't even that you asked God that made him die. He just came and died for you. However, for you to now receive the things that Jesus has given us by that is death, you now need faith. So faith is what gives you access to what grace has made available. Take that anywhere. For instance, Jesus has purchased your healing. But you're not going to automatically get healed if you don't understand how faith works. Because it is by faith that you assess. Let me explain it to you. Okay? Who has an ATM card? Debit card, anybody? That has money inside. Which has money inside? Amen. Now, this is ATM. With this, I'm trying to explain what faith is to you. So when we say you should master how faith works, you know what you're doing. With this ATM, you're expected to go to the bank, slot it in, and withdraw. So, watch what I'm going to show you. Depositing money to that account is what God has done. In that account, God deposited salvation. He deposited healing. He deposited wealth. He deposited supply. Everything was deposited into that account. But if you do not know how to use this ATM card, you will get there and withdraw nothing. If you don't know how to use it, you don't know how to slot it in, you don't know the pin, you don't know those details, you will go there and come back with nothing. Not because there is no money in the account. Are you following me, friends? But because you don't know how to assess what God has given. Are you following me, friends? So faith is how we assess the gift of God. Are you here? Faith is how we assess the gift of God. So, when you now get to the bank and you're trying to withdraw money, there can be 1 million in the account, but because you don't know how to use your ATM card, you might come back with nothing. There are many people that are not healed today, that are sick. Not because God has not made it available, but they've not mastered how faith works. Because it is by faith that you receive the healing that God has provided. There are many people that are are struggling in different areas of their life because they've not mastered how faith works. Not because God has not made this available, but because they've not mastered how it works. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. Are you still here? So it's important you master the thing about the subject of faith. So in these 4 days, a lot of teachings will happen. But one thing is certain. By the time you're living here on the 4th day, you would have been charged up by faith. I'm telling you, something would have happened to you. I'm so confident about what is going to happen in these 4 days. So confident. One is that we've prayed. 2 is that anointing is very available. 3 is that the subject we are treating is a very important one. You can't preach to anyone, and people will remain the same. So I'm going to teach you. What I'm sharing with you in these 4 days changed my life. Literally. It can change your studies. It can change your career. It can change your finances. It can change your life forever. Just master it. Because if not, all you will have is God has given, but you cannot receive. Amen. You know, there are people that I see in the spirit. It's like what they need is this keyboard. Where they are standing is here. And then there is a barricade. Just that barricade is actually glass. So they can actually see what they want, but they can't pass through the barricade. Those are people who have not learned how to operate by faith. They've seen everything God has promised. They've seen that God has promised healing, but they're still sick. They've seen all the promises of God, but they are not just able to get through and get it. And that will not be your story. Because every promise that God has made to us, we are going to receive all of them in this meeting. But you must master how faith works. Are you still here? So let me say a few things today. Anyway, we'll stop today, we'll stop tomorrow. I'm going to continue. Amen. So, first thing I'd like you to know is this. Every believer has the faith of God. I'll start with that. Every believer. So there is no believer who is faithless. Galatians 2 verse 20. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Amen. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. He now said, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Notice, he didn't say, I live by faith in Jesus. The believer has the faith of the Son of God. What that simply means is that when you get born again, God gives you his faith. Are you following me? God gives you. So actually, I know people say like, I need more faith. So in the real sense of it, no believer needs more faith for anything. Because the life we live by the very faith. Who is the Son of God again? Jesus, right? So we live by the very faith of Jesus. Are you here? Ephesians 3 verse 12. Let me show you this again. Ephesians 3. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved and gave himself for me. Now look at Ephesians 3 verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence. By what? Now let me tell you something about Doxa. Doxa is when they meet you, you can attend and your mouth is closed. You must be able to talk. Say amen. Amen. So let's read together, everybody. By the faith of him. By the faith of him. So, how do we have confidence? How do we have boldness? We have it by not just faith in Jesus, by God's own faith, the faith of him. So, God's own faith, Jesus' own faith, is what we have now. Look at Romans 10, verse 17. You see, put it up. Romans 10, yes, 17. Very clear, too. We have the faith of God. So, then faith cometh by hearing the word of God. So, how does faith come? When I hear the word of God, at salvation actually. So somebody comes to you and preaches Jesus to you, and you say, oh, I receive Jesus into my heart. As you are receiving Jesus into your heart, automatically the faith of God comes into you. Are you following me? So no believer can actually say, I don't have faith. No. You have faith. So you see, the problem, what we should teach the church is not how to have faith. It is how faith works. Because the problem is not faith deficiency. The problem is knowledge on how to walk faith. Are you following what I'm saying now? Every believer has been given faith. In fact, if you say you don't have faith, you cannot even be born again. It's the faith of God that got you saved. When you heard the word of God, you believed. That's faith. That's the faith of God. And the thing about this faith of God is, this faith of God cannot fail. It cannot fail. So if you master how it works, you have a Christian life that will be results. Are you guys getting me at all? So you notice, the gospel does not just... Okay, scratch that. The gospel does not demand faith. It imparts faith. It doesn't just demand faith. It imparts faith. So the gospel is not... Of course, when we preach, that people just believe in Jesus. But the real sense of it is that that thing we are preaching to them is what will give them the faith with which to use to believe. So even though it looks like it's demanding faith, in turn it is imparting faith, giving you the faith to use and believe. And so when you receive the gospel, you receive faith. That faith cannot fail. Let me tell you something about that faith. It was with that faith that God said, let there be light, and light appeared. It was with that faith that God spoke, and there was the first day. It was with that faith that God spoke, and the heavens went up there, and the sea divided. It was with, and the sea is where it is now. That same faith. It was with that faith that God created the animals. That faith. It is that with that faith, for instance, that Jesus walked upon the water. With that faith, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came up. That faith. It is with that faith that he spoke to 5 loaves and 2 fish and they multiplied. Not once did that faith fail. That is the faith you've received. So if you find out how it works, you have a Christian life that will never fail. Always have results. Are you following me, friends? It is that faith. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Jesus spoke, bah, multiplied, 5,000 men fed. Oh, are you following me? That faith. People were coming out from 2 madmen, possessed by devils, coming out from the tomb. Jesus saw them. They have not even spoken. But faith had gone to work. And things began to change. The demons came out from them. And they were totally fired. Well, that is the faith Jesus has. That is the faith that was imparted into you at salvation. So you realize that if you master how that faith works, nothing can fail. Because you notice how Jesus operated that faith. There was not a time where he tried it and it failed. But another time he tried it and it worked. Every time he tried it, it worked. Did you observe that? Every time. Every time he saw a sick person and tried it, it worked. Every time he saw a blind person and tried it, it worked. When he saw the dead and tried it, it worked. When he saw the cripple and tried it, it worked. When he saw 5 loaves and tried it, it worked. Every time he tried it, that faith worked. And so if you master how that faith works, every time you try it, it will work. And can I say to someone in this meeting under the sound of my voice, believing God for anything, we are going to try faith in this meeting, and that faith will not fail. I say that faith will not fail. Because you will see how it works. Nobody sees it. You are coming. You will see how it works. You will see how it works. That's why if you are here and you are sick, we are going to try that faith. And it's not going to fail. You came here, one of your ear, you cannot hear very well. We are going to release that faith. Your ear will pop open. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You came, your eye has a problem. You will try it. It will work. Not only that, you came here as an academic problem. We will try that faith. It will work. It will work. It will work. You came here as a financial problem. We will try that faith. It's going to work. It's going to work. Someone is receiving a miracle this moment as I'm talking. There is someone actually following this meeting online now. There is a miracle meeting you there. That thing you've been trying and it's not been working, it will now work. And if you can, as I'm talking to you, if you can, get yourself to this meeting tomorrow. Because we're going to release faith. Faith will work. Faith has never failed. Faith will not fail. It will not fail. So every time Jesus tried it, it worked. He met a leper, it worked. There was not one time that faith said, I can't walk today. Oh, am I talking to somebody this evening? There was not one time that faith said, it's not going to work today. Every time that faith was tried, that faith worked. That's why when I stand to pray, I'm not expecting that sometimes God will tell me no. I know that all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. Every every time I pray, God will not say no. Because I'm coming by the faith of God that has never failed. This is why I'm not afraid to attempt things. Because the faith of God has never failed. Many years ago, I heard this statement from a man of God. That's why I'm emphasizing it. Because it changed my life. The man said, faith does not fail. He said, if it fails, then it's not faith. I said, for me, I've been trying my own. It's been failing. Sometimes it works, sometimes it fails. I now found out the secret is master how it works. Simple. Amen. So that is principle for how faith works. Look at this building now. If the lights are on because we turn them on. Now, if you know how to turn these lights on, every time you try it, the lights will come on. If you don't know how to turn these lights on, you can come in here and you are in darkness. I don't know how the lights will come on. I'm just complaining. There's no light in this video, whereas there is light. How faith works. I believe that in the past 4 or 5 years, if not more, but 6 or 7 years now, God has taken me on a journey. No, 6 or 7 years from 2017, God began to take me on a special journey of mastering faith. On a transpersonal journey of mastering faith. So I've been able to master it to understand. I can actually write a full book on how faith works. And maybe one day we're going to have that book. Maybe one day. Because it can actually change a lot. That faith has never failed. That faith will never fail. It never failed in Jesus. When the apostles came into the scene, they began to operate by that same faith. It never failed. That same faith, Peter carried it to the beautiful gate and saw that crippled man. That faith did not fail. The crippled man walked. Peter carried that faith to the house of a woman who had died, called Dorcas. That faith did not fail. That woman came back to life. They carried that faith when Peter was put in prison. They prayed. By that faith, prison doors broke open. That faith has never failed and it's not going to fail. If you just know how it works, because it is worked. It is worked. That's why if you read the Bible, when the Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit, when he got to miracles, he didn't call it miracle, he called it the working of miracle. That is the way you work miracle. You work it. It's not automatic. You work it. You learn how to work it. Faith works when you know how it works. Faith works. I get the point. The problem many of us have is, we have many complaints. Why did I pray? Nothing happened. Why did that one? If not mastered how faith works. Just like when a new gadget comes up. Maybe a new kind of gadget. And they give you the phone. You know, there's a phone I can give you now. Okay, maybe not you. There's a phone I can give you now. You'll be looking at it. That phone can do everything, but you don't know where to start. Especially those days when we were transiting from button phones into touch screens. Did it happen to you at any time? They give you the phone. You're looking. So where do I start from? The phone, everything is in the phone. We cannot use it. Amen. Let me give you an example. If I give you this, my phone now, for some of you that have never used, if you've never used an iPhone, you cannot switch off this phone. Do you know what I said? If I hold this power, it will never go off. That is how faith works. No matter if you like press the power button from that, it will just be watching you. That is how it works. But someone that is actually used to this phone knows where to go to just click, but the phone will go off. So someone can actually pick this phone and be claiming, this phone doesn't go. I can even make a post on it on Facebook. Do you know that social iPhone cannot go off? But that's a big lie. You have to just find out how it works. That's the way you start using, I've given this example many times, when you get into all these recent cars, and I guess cars you get, even though you can drive, you enter, there is no key. There is nothing. There is no place. You will not see gear. Nothing. The car is just looking at you. He said, they didn't complete building the car. They left it halfway. Hallelujah. You're not one of our people here. Should I tell that story? They don't to repack this car. So you repack the car. You know, when you repack the car, you switch off the key. Now, of course, you close the door. So he had the key. So he will press the key. The car will lock. He will open it. The car will open. Do you understand? You go. The car is always open. But it has to lock it. If you press it, it will lock. You come close, it will open. Because now when you lock, you try to see if it has locked. Then every time he tries, the car will open. I was sweating. Profusely. It's like this guy's key is faulty. Well, nothing was faulty, actually. The car was built with a sensor. That is how far you will go from the car. It will lock by itself. So every time he locks it and tries to come close to come and check, the car will open. Once he has that key. My God. Now, if I didn't tell you this, you can be there for 1 hour. 1 hour you are there. Embarrassing. But it's not an, anyway, I don't see it as an embarrassment. I think you just ask a question. What you don't know is bigger than, you know, you can't. I went to a hotel. I went to minister in a meeting. They took me to a hotel. And I entered. You know, I'm not afraid to ask questions. I entered the bedroom. And I looked. The only thing I knew was how to put on shower. I didn't. There were many things. And then I figured that they paid for me to enjoy all of this. So I called. Yes, the reception. I called the porter. He came and said, show me how all these things work. They began to show me. I said, okay, what is this one? Okay. I don't know now. And I can only embarrass myself in his presence once. After that, I'll be good. So you see, things can be working, but will not work for you because you don't know how it works. And it's a message you're preaching, but I've seen it play out in different places. Different places. So sometimes people come to me and are saying, sir, we believe God for my mom and she later died. Sometimes I'm sorry for you that your mother died, but sometimes when I say, tell me how you believe God, when I don't tell him the story, in my mind I'll be like, your mother is supposed to die. Because that is the way this thing works. Are you guys what I'm talking about? We believe God for this. So we believe for 7 years. What were you doing in the 7 years? We are believing God. You don't understand. Belief. Faith is actually what you do. Faith is not what you do in your heart. If I believe in God, we will see. And I will show you. Amen. So that is how faith works. I sense the anointing already to teach. And it's already mighty in this place. Are you getting blessed already? How faith works. So we are studying how faith works and not actually how to receive faith. That's what I'm trying to make. You don't teach. The person that needs to receive faith is the guy. And let me even say something to you. The guy that needs to receive faith is the guy that is not saved. He says, but sometimes I have faith, but my faith can be small. That's the point I'm trying to make. That you don't have a small faith. That the faith you have is the faith of Jesus. And the faith of Jesus cannot be big or small. It is there. Are you following what I'm talking about? Let me show you something about God. The things of God are always perfect. Are you following me? The things of God are perfect. The things of God don't increase. They don't decrease. They are perfect. They come in their perfect form. If it is of God, then it's perfect. The only thing we need to learn is how to use the things of God better. For instance, the Holy Spirit of God, when He comes into you when you get saved, is actually, there is no big Holy Spirit as Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit. But many people will not express and flow in the Spirit the same way. Why? They've not mastered how to flow in the Spirit. Tomorrow night is attention the supernatural. It's a Holy Ghost meeting. I will teach you tomorrow how to flow with the Spirit. Are you following me? If you never prayed in tongues, you never interpreted tongues, you never prophesied, tomorrow is your night. Are you still here, friends? There have been mighty impartations here. Holy Ghost, electric impartations, actually. You know how it is? It's doxa. Glory to God. And so, the things of God are perfect. So when God gives you faith, He gives you small faith, or He gives you perfect faith. The problem is that many people will flow in that faith in a small way. Others will express that faith in a big way. But the faith is perfect. Are you what I'm talking about? Some will express it in a big way. Some will express it in a small way. I give an example. If I give you a system, laptop, good quality. There are people that once you give them a laptop, the only thing they can do with that laptop is to see movies and do Microsoft Word. That is all. That system can run graphic design. That system can run video editing. That system can code. Maybe it's a very high power system. It can do all of those things. But because the person, the only thing he knows is VLC, where they used to watch film. That's all he's going to use that system to do. And that is the problem that many people have. So it's not like the faith of God is small. or that you have big faith on. You just don't know how it works. So it will work for you to the capacity where you work it out. So I'm beginning to show, look, I'll tell you a few things about the faith of God today. Number one, Romans 10 verse 6. Let's look at this. Romans 10 verse 6. Let's read together like a mass choir. Are you here? Are you here? Are you adding your voice to this? Let's go together. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Verse 7. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Verse 8. But what said it? In thy mouth and in thy heart, that is. So it tells you the righteousness that comes by faith does not say who shall ascend or who shall descend. It says the word is 90. So one of the first things we learn about faith is that faith speaks. I'm trying to teach how faith works. Faith speaks. Faith talks. How did God create this whole world? Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said. So the first time we see God move in faith in the Bible, he was talking. That's why you cannot claim you are in faith if you don't know how to talk. So the faith of God speaks. The faith of God talks. And it doesn't talk anyhow. I see here. Let there be light. So Jesus, God did not come to where there was darkness and say, wow. Wow. See darkness. I wish things would just get better. Things would not have changed. He said, let there be. So if you want to, that's why people say, so we are believing God. I ask them, what are you doing? Say, well, we just, we believe, we are even praying. Faith talks. Faith talks. You cannot claim to be in faith if you don't know how to use your tongue. Amen. I mean, learning how to use your tongue in prayers and also how to use your tongue in your everyday conversation. For instance, faith does not deny the situation. Faith, like if you are sick, you say, are you sick? You say, no, I'm not sick. That's not faith. That's lying. But faith speaks to the situation to change. For instance, if I say, are you sick? What's wrong with you? Do you have headache? He say, yes, I have headache. But I know that God's sign is upon my life. That's how faith talks. Now, because your words are very powerful. Proverbs tells us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. So the man who is a man of faith, the guy who is a guy of faith, must learn how to use his tongue very well. That's why it's not everything you say. If you say everything, you will not have miracles. You say, why? Because your tongue is how you approve things or disapprove things in the spirit. So when you use your mouth and say, ah, this Nigeria, there is no money. There will be no money for you. Are you getting what I'm talking about? That's why faith does not, but it does not speak. It does not speak crazy things about the situation. It speaks to the situation and expects a change. So when Jesus, when God got to darkness, he didn't say, ha! See darkness, Jesus Christ. If it were just dark, if it was black, man, angel, come see. If it were just dark. Now, that's how some of us talk. We use our tongue to appreciate the problem. Say, ah! Oh boy, if you see, I'm so sick, as I'm talking to you, I can't even get up. My head is about to blow. Well, you're not lying. But you're not speaking in faith. And nothing is going to happen. So when a man of faith has academic problem, he's reading over. He doesn't go saying, ha, this exam is God. Me, self, I've told God, even if I get D, yeah, I'm fine. That's not faith talking. Amen. Are you following me at all? So faith does not deny the situation. It speaks to the situation. So look at how I tell people. I say, don't talk about the problem. Talk to the problem. People talk about their problem. They don't talk to their problem. So, notice when it was time to kick Goliath. Let me show you this. All the Israelites were doing, they were talking about Goliath. That is one Goliath guy. The guy is tall. He's been a soldier from his youth. He's been a warrior. He has killed people. He's a giant. When David wanted to talk, he was talking to Goliath. He said, "Who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine?" So you don't talk about, you don't discuss the unemployment. You talk to it. That's how faith talks. The language of faith is such that it talks to the problem and not about the problem. So let me put it another way. Faith does not complain. Are you following me? Faith doesn't complain. Faith does not whine. Faith does not... Faith speaks to the problem. So have you paid your fees? Well, no. I have not. But I believe that things are going to change just very soon. That's how faith talks. Amen. So God spoke to darkness. He said, "Let there be light." And of course, light came. Of course, light came. In Matthew 17 and verse 20, pray it up. Matthew 17 and verse 20. Let's read together, everybody. Come on, do you want to read? Let's start it again. Now, they asked Jesus, there was no demon they wanted to cast out. And they were wondering, the demon did not go. So they were asking Jesus, "Why didn't we cast out this devil?" And Jesus answered them in that verse 20. What did he say? Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief, for very life I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say." Stop. So what is the proof that you have faith? You shall say. Are you still here? If you have faith, you shall say. So if you are not saying, I say, I mean, I believe in my heart, you don't have faith. Faith talks. Faith talks. So you see why I normally tell people, you say, "I believe in God for healing." He said, "So what are you doing when you believe in God?" We are just there believing God now. No, faith talks. If you shall say, if you shall say. So he didn't say, if you shall talk about the mountain. If you shall say, and what he said, you shall say unto the mountain. So you don't talk to, you talk to. So don't talk about your sickness. Talk to the sickness. Are you still here? You shall say. You shall say. Mark 11, 23. Everybody that has faith must talk. Must learn to talk. Mark 11, 23. "For very life unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those in which he said shall come pass, he shall have whatsoever he said." So you must say. So the question is, what are you saying? I know your results, you've been struggling with your studies for some time, but what are you saying about it? I know there is no money to do certain things, but what are you saying about it? I know your health has been bad since you are born. They've been treating you of one sickness or to another, but what are you saying about it? I know you never used your eye to see. You've relied on glasses all the while. But what are you saying about it? What are you telling your eyes? If you shall say to this mountain. So you see, it's not that God is not willing. Maybe we don't know how these things work. You say. Are you following what I'm talking about? You look at your skin. A certain reaction breaks out in your skin. And all you said is, "Jesus, Jesus." "You see my fine skin. This is just what will come and damage this my skin like milk." And that's all. What is going to happen? The skin keep getting bad because you're admiring it. Another person will look at it and say, "Ah, no, not on this skin. My skin is recovering. You foul growth or rash in the name of Jesus, out of this skin." You see. And every time you look at your skin, you say, "Oh, skin is getting better." So faith doesn't deny the situation actually, but it talks to the situation. So if we shall say, see verse 24, next verse. "He shall have whatever I said. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe." So when there is desire, there must be prayer. How do you pray? With your tongue. So can I say this to you? If there is just desire in the heart and there is no voicing, there is no faith. Do you hear what I said now? If there is just desire in the heart, but you are not saying anything, you are not in faith. I want a job. It's not how to get a job. My job is here. The Lord has brought my job to me. My job is here. That's how to talk. So if somebody says that thing, God, I want you. God, I beg you. You know, God, I beg is not faith confession. God, I beg you. I need job. God, I beg. If I just get this job like this, God, I beg. That's not. After 6 months, he says, I believe God throughout this year. Where are you believing God? When you believe God, we will see in what you say. If you shall say. Are you learning something this evening? Yeah. So every time you hear me say, I'm believing God for this, you don't need to ask, what are you doing? I was talking. I'm believing God for this means I'm talking about the problem. I'm talking to the problem. Are you still here? Mark chapter 4 verse 37. Let's say another practical example. So faith talks to the problem. Faith doesn't discuss about it. It talks to the problem. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship. So that it was now full. So water was pouring into the ship. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Now watch this. There was, because people normally say, God cannot be there. And something will go wrong. That is actually what it's meant to be. But God can be there and things will go wrong. For instance, you are carrying God inside of you and things are going wrong. Because you don't know how to release your faith, things will go wrong. So Jesus was sleeping in the boat, like Jesus of Nazareth, with all his power sleeping in the boat, yet there was storm. Because people normally say, you're a Christian, it shouldn't happen to you. No. Okay, you are correct. You're a Christian, it should not happen to you, but it can happen to you if you don't begin to release your faith. So Jesus was there. He was sleeping on a pillow. And they wake him and said, Master, carest thou not that will perish? What did he say in verse 39? And he arose and rebuked the wind. So what should the disciples have done? Tell the wind, peace, be still. Now, did the disciples want that wind to stop? Yes. Was it in their heart as a desire? Yes. Did they even believe that the wind can stop? Possibly. But why didn't it stop? They didn't say to the wind. I follow what I'm talking about. That's why I told you, for instance, in this conference, you cannot be quiet. And all your life, you cannot be. This one is not temperamental. Me, I'm a choleric or I'm a phlegmatic. We don't talk much. Everybody knows I'm the quiet type. Have you observed? Nobody is a quiet type. Do you know? Are you a quiet type? Let me see your hand. If you think you're quiet type, okay, I'm seeing some hands on here. Okay. Okay, you're lying. You want to know whether people are quiet? Let them get into a room with people that are very comfortable with the way they will talk. That tells you nobody's actually quiet. So when you say I'm quiet, you're actually saying I'm timid, I'm shy sometimes. Because once we bring you into a place where you're very comfortable, you start talking. So you're not actually quiet, you are just shy. And timidity is not of God. I get what I'm saying. So all this, I know. They that said, you say people are shouting too much in this meeting. I'm not that kind of person. No, when it has to do with life, some things only respond to shouts. Yes. So you're on the plane. They just announced to you, as I'm talking to you now, the pilot said, brace up, tighten your seatbelt, fasten your seatbelt. The engine of this plane just failed. And you are cruising on a certain altitude. That you are in this, I'm quiet. That's why you know that you're a loud person. Because if you keep calm, you're going to crash with the plane. Faith does not keep quiet. Someone is going to sit in that place saying, Father God, I beg. You don't. It's not God, I beg. But when you're shouting God, I beg, it looks like you're saying it is God trying to crash the plane. It's not God. So you get up. In the name of Jesus, I address the forces of nature to readjust. I speak to this plane. Engine, come back. You talk. Complaining doesn't fix things. It doesn't. So the faith of God is a speaking faith. We are a kingdom of talkers. God is a speaking God. I told you guys, and I want to say it again. The primary, hear this. There's a principle in studying God's word called the principle of first mention. That principle actually explains that the first time something was, the first time and the first way something was used in the Bible, always carries the real meaning of that particular thing. Why am I saying this? The first time words we are ever used in the Bible, words you are not used to communicate, words you are used to create. So the primary purpose of words is creation, not communication. So you have been using your words wrongly. The reason God gave you a tongue is not so that I can talk with him, so that I can create with him. Am I talking to you this evening? The primary purpose of words is not communication, it's creation. So God gave you a tongue so that you cannot watch things go wrong and they keep going wrong, so that you can recreate it. So you cannot claim to be a man of faith and you're not talking. That's not faith. Amen. That can be anything but not faith. Not faith. Amen. Say, I have a voice. Do you want to say, I have a voice. I have a voice. So you must learn to talk. Whether in prayer or outside, everywhere. That's why I don't join the band of people complaining about things. And I just tell you guys this. When I got into first year, I had this friend, you know, my first year, that should be how many years ago now? That's 14 years ago. So if you are 14 years, I entered first year when they gave birth to you. I'm just saying. Amen. Now, when I got into first year, I had this friend. He was very negative. We were in first year, and this guy knew everything about difficult courses that we were going to study in third year. So every time he's telling me, there's this course in third year, that course now die. They say this year alone, 76 people are writing carryover. So you just say, there is this other course. There is this, you see this lecturer? Ha! We'll meet him in second year. They said he doesn't, in fact, if you don't sort him, you will not pass. He had all those information. So what I asked him, I said, how do you get to know all these things? He said, I talked to people and I said, I don't think I want to keep hearing you. He said, this one is not pastor thing. I said, it is, actually. There are things I don't voice, I don't say. And everything he eventually said eventually happened to him. There are courses he never passed until he sorted them. Because he has been saying it. I get to the point. And I heard a man of God share a story. He said, he was talking about how speaking controls things. He said, the wife always, when they want to travel, the wife could apply for their travel documents and all of that. And through DHL, one of these, all these courier services, they deliver it to the house. He has never believed in it. He would just tell her, this is what I'm doing, I beg. Me, if I want to, I like going physical to go and get my thing. He kept saying, these things fail, these things never work. But he never failed for the wife. He said the one time he ever tried to apply for them to deliver at his house, that day he didn't fail. He said he spent more than 1 week at the office. So when he was there trying to rectify it, he was telling them, but my wife always orders this thing and it never fails. I said, that God told him, well, you've always been saying, so you got what you ordered. So he must be very careful. That's some of you that are still in school now. They say, see this course you are studying. You finish this course, there is no job anywhere. You see that thing you are saying is going to meet you when you graduate. So faith talks. Are you here? Faith talks. And faith speaks. There's a way faith speaks. I'm already showing you. Faith speaks ahead of time. And even before a problem has come, faith is already talking. So the man of faith is in school today. But he's already saying things will happen when he graduates. That will happen when he graduates from school. The man of faith is not married today. But he's already telling you how his home is going to be. What is he doing? That's how faith talks. Faith speaks ahead. Faith does not always wait for a problem to arise before he begins to talk. Let me show you a scripture. Matthew 28 verse 5. Matthew 28 verse 5. Everybody please watch. I've taught from here many times. But please watch it. So this was when Mary and the rest of the women went to check on Jesus in the grave. And they got there, they met an angel. And the angel answered and said unto the women, watch, fear not. Go back to verse 5. Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. Read verse 6 with me, everybody. He's not here, for he is risen as he said. So it tells you that way before Jesus died, Jesus has been saying that he will rise. So when he died, what he has been saying went into work. Are you following me, everybody? He has risen as he said. I want that in the next 5 years, somebody will look at you and say, ah, sister, what's your name? Huh? Anastasia. Say, sister Anastasia, don't worry, sis. You see that don't the girl? I say, ah, she's rich, as she has been saying. Yeah. Amen. Ah, you mean that girl? Ah, she's been saying this thing since so, because faith speaks ahead of time. Faith does not always wait for a problem to come. Faith is always talking ahead. I get the point. Before you are married, you're talking about your family. Oh, thank you, Father. Because I know a good home you're going to have. Say, have you seen husband? No. Have you seen boyfriend? No. So why are you wasting time? We're not wasting time. Have you written jam? No. What class? SS2. But already saying, oh, my school days. I'm going to get the course of my dream. Jam will not give me a course. I'm going to study engineering. I'm going to study medicine. I'm going to study this. You're just saying those things. And when I finish, I'm going to succeed. In school, I'm going to take my school for Jesus. See, have you got admission? No, faith speaks like that. Now, let me tell you, words are not wasted. The Bible says, Jesus told them, that every evil word you speak, look for that scripture, shall rise against you in judgment. Wow. Did I read that? I said, okay. So it means the evil words I'm speaking are not actually wasting. So words don't go to waste. Are you following what I'm saying? It doesn't waste. So the question is, what have you been saying? You claim you've been believing God. What have you been saying about your health? What have you been saying about your career? What have you been saying about your family? What have you been saying about your studies? You did poorly last term. That just ended. What have you been saying about this new session that is about to start? What is in your tongue? Or are you just quiet? Or you're saying the negative things? I heard that SS2 is the hardest class. That class, if you enter, now that's what they're saying. That's what they're going to have when you get into SS2. Another person is going to start saying, well, this SS2 will favor me. It will bless me. Look at it. Matthew 12:36. I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So you don't just sow. Any crazy thing you are saying is not wasting. Are you following me, friends? That is that all the things you are saying about your life, they are actually working. They are working out something. So to a very large extent, your life today is a product of all the things you've said yesterday. To a very large extent. Amen. And I should tell you guys this story about Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin said there was this guy that was sick. Brother Hagin is Kenneth E. Hagin. Great man of God. If you've never heard about him, let me be the first to tell you about him. Because you're going to be a solid Christian in this generation. You're going to read a lot of his books. Amen. Now, the guy said there was this guy that was sick. He went to pray for the guy a couple of times. He would pray and pray and pray, come back, pray. Eventually, the guy died. And the brother to the guy said, well, you've just been there for our family, praying for my brother. Would you please officiate his burial? And Brother Hagin said, okay, I will. He said, but something stood out. Every time he goes to pray for that guy, he will hear a word in his spirit. The word is always, spiritual laws have gone into motion. Words have been spoken, which cannot be reversed at this time. See, he didn't understand it. Every time he said he would go to pray, he would hear words have been spoken. Spiritual laws have gone into motion, which at this time cannot be reversed. But he didn't tell anybody. So he finished preaching at the burial, and they were coming back. And that guy's brother began to tell him. He said, no, there is something strange about this, my brother's death. And he said, tell me. He said, all the while, my brother has kept saying that he will die. He doesn't even think he will live beyond his 40th birthday. So he has been saying, this 40th birthday, I don't even know if I will live. So he has been saying it all the while. They took it as a joke. He said, the thing is, my brother is 40 this year. So Brother Ege said he remembered those words. That's him. Words have been spoken. Spiritual laws have gone into motion, which at this time cannot be reversed. So all the prayers that the man of God was praying was bouncing back because words have been spoken. Laws have gone into motion, which at this time cannot be reversed. Are you following me, everybody, tonight? So when Jesus died, Jesus has been speaking since he was born. He was saying, I shall rise, tear down this temple, I shall raise it up in 3 days. The Son of Man shall rise. So when he answered, the angel said, he is risen as he said. So imagine the man has been saying, I will die and I will rise. When he died, spiritual laws went into motion. All the forces of nature had to respond. All the power of God had to come into motion to make sure that what he said will not fail. So you're a man of faith. What are you saying? Are you following me this evening? What are you saying? What are you saying about your life? What are you saying about your career? What are you saying about your health? What are you saying about your family? What are you saying about your studies? What are you saying about your finances? What are you saying about your future? What are you saying? Where I am today in life and the ministry, I saw this many years ago and I kept saying it. Where I will be in the next days, I'm already talking. And I can even tell you where I will be. One day, we'll be all over the world. One day, we're going to shake this world for Jesus. One day, we're going to shut down stadiums and whatever for crusades for Jesus. I'm saying it. So when it happens, you remember, I remember those days when this man used to say these things. Are you getting the point? Those people that were around me before I gained admission into school, I kept saying what happened when I was in school. I kept saying, I will take my wife for Jesus. I kept saying, I will take that school. I kept saying, literally, we used the biggest auditorium to hold meetings. I kept saying it before I entered school. When I went into school, laws had to go into motion because words have been spoken. I get what I'm saying. So what are you saying? You're about to write an exam next week. What are you saying? Next month, next day, what are you saying? That's why you realize that life is largely spiritual. Largely spiritual. That's why you cannot be carnal in this world and succeed. Life is largely spiritual. People don't just, listen to me, there are rarely any coincidences on earth. The things you see happening, something worked them out. Something made them happen. Life is largely spiritual. So the faith of God speaks ahead. Are you still here? In 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 37, see the story of David and Goliath, where he wanted to kill Goliath. Way before David even stood before Goliath, where he was before Saul, he was already talking to Saul. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. So before David even met Goliath, he has been talking. Faith speaks ahead. So David did not wait to meet Goliath before he started saying, Goliath, I'll kill you today. Before he met Goliath, he has been talking. The woman with the issue of blood, how did she get healed? Before she met Jesus, she has been saying, if I touch. So she has been speaking from her husband. She said, well, before she met Jesus, if I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. So when she touched, why were others not made whole when they were touching? They were not saying. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Like in this meeting, somebody can begin to say, you see, these doctors that have come, once pastor lays hands on me, this teeth problem that I have is going to disappear. They are just saying it. It's going to disappear. In this program that I've come, this academic show I'm happening. Once pastor, you can just be saying it. You'll be saying it and saying it. You notice by the time I lay hands on you, I may not even know what I'm laying hands on you for. Jesus, that woman touched. Jesus did not pray any prayer. She touched Jesus because she has been talking. Faith went into work. Faith speaks. And speaks ahead of time. Two more things I'll say before we close. Faith speaks consistently. Faith, I told you, number one, I said faith speaks ahead. I'm saying again, faith speaks consistently. Again, first of all, I said faith speaks to the situation. It speaks to the problem. It doesn't talk about the problem, it talks to the problem. Two, I said faith speaks ahead of the problem. Three, I said faith speaks consistently. Consistently. What that simply means is, when people say I'm in faith, it doesn't mean just say, I like God, we do it, I'm going to be healed, and that's all. Faith speaks and keeps speaking, not just once. So it's not just after prayer. In prayer you declare, oh, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I receive my healing. And you finish. Then you go out and you begin to say all the nonsense. Say this sickness, and this sickness will kill me. The way it's doing me here, I'm going to die. What is happening? You are negating what you've said in prayer. Faith does not talk once. Psalm 62 verse 11. Once has it been spoken. Twice have we heard. That power belongs to God. That's the secret. That God, that thing opened up to me some years ago. Once has it been spoken. Twice have we said, have I heard. That power belongs to God. So how can something be said once and you hear it two times? It is because when it is said once, you keep saying it. You keep re-echoing it. So when God says you are healed, even if you're still seeing that problem in your body, every day I say, I'm healed. God said, I'm healed. God said, I'm healed. You are re-echoing it. Once has it been said, twice have I heard. So when it is said once, you re-echo. Are you following me this evening at all? When it is said once, you say it again and again. Glory to God. You know, there are some of you that God has told some amazing things about your life. He told you some years ago. Today, you've forgotten those things that God ever said those things. You know why? You stopped re-echoing them. You stopped. You stopped talking about them. Ooh. Shamalada Barokodia. You stopped talking about them. He told you many years ago that he's going to make you a strong minister that will change people's life. But you stopped talking about them. What of saying about yourself all the time? I'm a minister that God will use mightily. You keep praying. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this. What God says once, what pastor says once in this meeting, I declare, oh, somebody here is going to do this. You keep saying it. Next time it's going to start. And maybe you struggle with your studies last term or last semester. And I put my hands on you. And I say, in the name of Jesus, this coming term, you are going to breakthrough. You will be the best. Now, you've gotten a word. What do you do? Once has it been said, twice have I heard. Every day you go back, this next time I'm breaking through. I'm not the one that will struggle. You say, let me tell you, sometimes I teach people, set routine. Alarm. Wake up every morning. Say it. Before you sleep at night, say it. As I discuss with the first that it comes to your mind, say it. Keep talking. You can talk to a point that the thing takes over your consciousness. When you hear it once, you say it two times. Do not let your ear be the last place the word of God that comes to you will stop. Let it come through your tongue. What goes into your ears must come out through your tongue. Hi. That's how things are worked. That's how faith is worked. That's how faith is worked. That's how faith is worked out. As our faith is worked out. You're looking for a job. You've applied and applied. But God has promised you, I'm going to give you a job. He said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. He said, I'll make you the first and not the last. He has said all of those things. Now, you now apply again and the job did not come. What do? God has spoken once. Twice have I heard. So you keep saying what he has said. Re-echo what he has said. Repeat what he has said. My job is here. The job I want is here. The exact job I want is here. Yeah. I need fees. I need my school fees. God, you pray. So, I believe the school fees is here. Don't just say it in prayer. Every day. What I'm teaching you is very simple, but that's actually how these things work. So, whenever you see me say, I'm believing God for something, don't ask what I was doing. I was talking. I get to the point. I was talking. You know, Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus. All of us, some of us know that he just got there and said, Lazarus, comfort. But there was something he said before he said that. He said, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. What does that tell you? Way before he came to the tomb of Lazarus, he has been saying something. Are you following what I'm talking about? He's been talking. And I said, Father, take what you've heard me. So he has been talking. I can imagine How do you know he has been talking? The first day they told him about Lazarus' death, what did he say? He said, this sickness is not unto death. So the first I told him about his sickness, rather. They told him Lazarus is sick. He started talking from there. From there. When the Lord told him that he's dead, he didn't say, hey, it's not scattered. He kept talking. He said, he's not dead, but he sleepeth. And I go that I may wake him. He has not gotten there. He has been talking. Does somebody want to talk this evening? He is not dead. He's sleeping. I go. So he was not thinking of what are you going to do. He knew what he was going there to do. Thomas said, look at that. It's John 11 I'm actually teaching from. Thomas said, let us go that we may die with him. Jesus. Is that Thomas or Philip? Let us go that we may die with him. So you notice two different people. Jesus was saying one thing. It was Thomas. He told his fellow disciples, let us also go. So you are either Jesus or you are Thomas. Are you getting the point? Lazarus is sick. This sickness is not unto death. Lazarus has died. Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him up. Thomas, Lazarus is dead. Let us go. Thou may die with him. Who are you? So faith speaks. So before Jesus even got Lazarus, he has been saying something. So he now got Lazarus' stomach. He just said, Lazarus, comfort. All the words he has been speaking had to come together. How do you feel like I'm talking about? They have to come together to make sure that result will come. And so, way before whatever, have the word of God on your tongue. My life is changing. My career is getting better. My studies is getting better. My health is adjusting. God is changing my life. That's why there are certain things that when God tells you, you say them for 30 years. You know, I was teaching this in church some time ago. Do you know that there is one blessing that Aaron speaks, the high priest, even today, speaks over Israel from the Bible days till now? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his scatter. The same blessing. Why didn't he tell them every time, get a new blessing? This is how you deal with God's word. Sometimes when you get it, you hold it for long. You hold it for long. You hold it for long. And I want some of you, thank you, Holy Ghost. Some of you don't actually need a new word from God. I'm here to do. You don't need a new word from God. Once has he spoken, twice have we heard. So when he speaks once, you hear it. So how do I keep hearing it? Hear it through your own lips now. Through your own lips. Through your own lips. Through your own lips. So you keep saying what God has said. He has promised me healing. So my eye, you are correcting. You are falling in place. You are created anew. In the name of Jesus. You say it in the morning, in the evening. These eyes, you are correcting. You know, I confess God's word sometimes. I can say it so long that I even forget to be checking the problem. That's how I talk. There's a growth in your hand. You just notice something. In the name of Jesus, this growth has disappeared. Glory, hallelujah. The next evening, you've disappeared. 2, 3, 4, 5, you keep saying, until one day something will take. Why not check the growth? When I find that it's no more there. Faith speaks consistent. Some of you, God has promised to your school that he will give you your school to take over and to conquer your school for Jesus. Now, throughout this holiday, you'll be saying that. Because some of you, God will give you such words in this meeting. You know, I keep saying, my school is for Jesus. My school. Every time, every morning, every afternoon, every what is happening, those words are going to motion. Men of faith are consistent speakers. They don't talk and stop. They keep talking. They keep talking. Repetitive talking. Repetitive speaking. That's why there are things you don't say. And I think it's a good time to sound that warning. There are things you don't say. You don't complain. You don't speak negative. Because that's why I said there are songs you don't sing. Even Christian songs that you don't sing. Your life is not going down. So you cannot sing that your life is going down. There are songs you sing. Songs that reflect and depict what God has said to you. And then even secular song. I think personally that even if you want to dance to a secular song, it's not every song you dance and you sing to. It's not every song. Amen. A lady sang a song. All of you know the song. Say, I know come this life to suffer. You know the song? If I follow politician. How many of you know the song? I know you know it. Who sang it? Tiwa Savage. Now a believer in Christ, who God has called to walk worthy of his calling, not to all pleasing, is singing, I know come this life to suffer. If I follow police. Now, he doesn't know what is happening. He's voicing something. And after that, the next song on his playlist is, if I broke now my business. And he wants his school fees to come. And don't say I'm being too spiritual. That's how we cope. That's how we cope. I don't learn my voice to sing everything. The Lord is bringing me into the best shape of my life. That is, I say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. God is able. I say, God is able. I say, God is able. I say, God is able. God can make things go away. God can turn this around. God can fix this situation. God can fix this mess. I'm not going down. There is only one way. That way it's up. Deuteronomy 28 tells us, you shall be above only. I love the word only. If he had said you will be above, it would have been okay. But he said, you shall be above only. So I don't have down moments and up moments. I'm always going up and higher and higher and higher. No down moments. So what if when you are saying this thing, you are actually having a down moment proper? That's how it works. You speak consistently. 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 Woo. And you have been.
I can't believe how you love me. What a friend you have been.
Sing it over this place. Sing it.
So good to me.
Yes.
Lord, I can't believe how you love me.
What a friend.
What a friend you have been.
So good to be singing.
So good to be.
But I can't believe.
But I can't believe how you love me.
What a friend.
What a friend you have been. So good to me. How you love me. What a friend you have been.
Yeah. So when you're speaking words, things are aligning. So faith speaks consistently. Consistently. There's a pain around my right leg, sir. They even declared they did not go. You now have what to do. Throughout these 4 days, you wake up in the morning, pain in the name of Jesus. Just after the morning devotion, pain, you are gone. You no longer exist in this body. Oh, my leg functions fully. And that's a confession I make almost every morning. My body functions to the full capacity that God created it to function. I've been making that confession for a very long time. My body functions to the full capacity. So every time there's a problem, my body functions to the full capacity that God created it to function. Amen. One that was praying, and the Lord said, dropped it in my spirit. He said, from now, your supply will be bigger than your needs. I've been saying it. I've said it to the church. I've been saying it. My supply is bigger than my needs. What that means is, if I do 12,000, I must have at least 13,000. At least, because my supply is bigger. I will not spend to my last. I always have spare cash. I always have spare cash. I have what to give. I have what to spend. I have much more left over. These are not things I started saying yesterday. If you've been around my ministry for like 2 years, once I'm hearing me say this again and again, I play the longer game. I'm not one that just receives a word from God and I say, oh yeah. Woo, hallelujah. I rejoice and I go home. I stay long. Once has it been said, twice have I heard. And one last thing I'm going to say for today is that faith speaks confidently. Faith does not speak in timidity. That's why throughout this meeting you must be bold. When Peter met that crippled man in Acts chapter 3 and verse 6, see the confidence. He told him, "Silver of gold have I not. Such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus." See the confidence. Many of us are too shy to talk. Because you know what it is? You're actually afraid. What if I say it and it doesn't happen? That's not faith. That's doubt. See, if I told somebody to pray for the crippled man at Beautiful Gate, say, "In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Walk, walk, walk in Jesus' name." Peter said, "In the loudly, faith is bold." When you hear me say things like "things will turn around," that's bold. I don't say, "Oh, things may or may not." Faith is confident. So you speak confidently. You speak boldly. Things will turn around for good. You know, in Acts chapter 14 and verse 8, Peter was teaching, or rather Paul was teaching. There was a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The guy had never walked since he was born. And Peter saw him, or Paul rather saw him, and perceiving that this man had faith to be healed. So when Paul perceived faith in the man, he released his own faith. That didn't release his faith. Read with me. Start from the beginning. Said what? Talk to me. Said with what? So he didn't say, "Hey young man, do you want to stand up? Do you want to work?" That's not how to do it. It's a loud voice. "Stand up!" That's how faith talks. So it's not like we are shouters, but we speak confidently. You know, one day, I like this story. St. Augustine was standing at a place, and this old woman, was trying to get on the train, and she had her dog. And the dog was trying to ask the dog to go back. You know these dogs and white people. "Jimmy, go back." He was just there wagging his tail. He say, "Jimmy, go back." I was wagging his tail. And then the woman looked at her. "Go back!" And boom, he ran. And Smith looked at the woman and said, "That's how you deal with the devil." It's not say, "Hello, Satan. Do you want to leave me alone right now? I didn't trouble you. Why are you trying? Did I do anything to you?" That's not how. You speak confidently. "I be fixed." You want to work miracle? This is how. "Eyes be fixed." It work. "Legs correct." It corrects. The first miracle of a crippled person was recorded in this foundation was 2011. by one simple statement. I don't even know whether it is grammatically correct. Let every dislocation be relocated now. That's the only thing I said. I don't even know whether it's correct. Is it? Let every dislocation, that's all. Because it's not about grammar, it's about confidence. I get what I'm saying. And the guy had connected the brother to the meeting. Cripple was not working. How many people were in that meeting? 2011. Do you remember? Cripple never worked. And suddenly, they called it from home. The guy just stood up now and began to walk. Now, faith speaks confidently. It's not, do you really think you want to walk? Please now walk. Please. Mm-mm. We don't romance sicknesses. We don't romance challenges. We speak with the faith of God. Paul said, I like this verse. Paul said with a loud voice. Put on other translations. With a loud voice. You will see it happening in this meeting. So Paul called to him in a loud voice. So it's not actually about the shout, the sound, the shouting, but the confidence. Did you amplify it? Said he shouted at him. My God. Shouted at him. Message said, so he said loud enough for everyone to hear, up on your feet. Imagine talking as though that's how they talk. Up on your feet, out from his body, out from my finances, out from my studies, you foul devil. That's how faith talks. Faith speaks confidently, loud enough for everybody to hear. And the Bible said the man was up in a flash. But that's where they shout at you, the way you jump up. It may even be fear that made the man jump up from me. Okay, because Paul was preaching something different, not even about healing. Imagine I'm just preaching, I just go! Yeah, Jesus! And he was up, he was walking. That's the confidence faith works with. So next time you want to speak about your studies, don't look at your studies and say, hey, hello, studies.
Jesus' name, Father, help me now in this mass 101.
No. I get to the point. So all of you know this story. At least we'll be here for some time. I just mentioned mass. This man, I wrote mass first year. And his pattern then was, if you write, he will release the result. He will flash. We call it flash. He will flash the result. What are people that went to his suit here? I don't know that they still do that. Who went to a suit? I'm seeing, yes, I'm some of you here. Would they still do that? The flash result. The idea of the flashing is they tell you the result is out. Come and check it in my office. They will not, you come and check whether you passed or you failed. And when you get there, if you failed, you do the needful. And when you get there, most everybody will have F. But that result has not gone to HOD first. So you pay him, then he changes it. So I got there, the same mass. So I entered that office and I checked the results. And lo and behold, Henry Onyedekachi, F. So let me tell you, I will still teach you how to do this faith thing. Because when you're a person of prayer, you're a lot bolder. Because there are some stories I tell you here, and I used to wonder, even me, I'm asking myself, how did you do that thing? So I looked at the man, I said, sir, this is my name. He said, yes. I said, sir, you wrote F. I was the first year boy. He said, yes, because you got F. I said, sir, I didn't get F. And I told him, sir, I cannot. He said, if you don't want to go to your mates, sir, you get that. I said, sir, I will not get F. You will not paste F. He said, I'm threatening, sir, I'm not threatening. I'm just telling you what will not happen. I walked out of the office. Now, was I afraid? Yes. When I left the office. I think that was the spirit of faith at that point functioning. Because when I left the office, I was like, Jesus. This small admission that I managed to get, I just want to tell you how afraid I was. I was still talking, I will not make F. But then I was actually preparing for the next exam. And how they do some of those results, they don't paste the result for the exam except 2 days or so to the exam or 1 day. So when they put out, but I was already fully prepared for that exam. And the person I went there, it was a B. I just felt, you know, there are things that will happen to you. Your faith level, you just skyrocket. That I said, this thing works. There is such a thing as the spirit of faith. When it takes over you, we call it the spirit of the Lord. Bible says, the Lord came upon Samson, and then he will slay the Philistines. So I saw, when I saw B, I just stood there for some time. I knew something had worked. Faith is bold. Faith is bold. Faith is bold. Oh, you have been diagnosed with this sickness. The way I was seeing it, you are going to die. Yeah, you have like 1 year to live. And faith is that thing that will look at the doctor. I said, thank you, sir, for your diagnosis. I know you don't hate me. You're just seeing what your machine showed you. But give me 2 months. I'll be back. And you will not find anything in my body. And most of the doctors, at that point, don't let the doctor talk again. You said, this one is not about. I said, don't worry, sir. It's faith. What you now do, you get home, you start talking. Every day you wake up in the morning, life is working in me. What needs to be fixed is fixed. What needs to be repaired is repaired. What needs to be replaced is replaced. What needs to be greater than you, greater than in my body. Life is working in me. I'm fully restored. You do that 1 day, 2 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 6 months. You go back. Say, take me again. Faith is bold. Speaks boldly. Finally, I'll show you how you see how David spoke to Goliath. So, 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. He didn't meet Goliath to say, well, because first of all, Goliath threatened him. He didn't start saying, because see the secret here. Every situation in your life is talking to you. Oh, I think I should show this. Ooh, my life is getting better. I say my life is getting better. If you are new to this meeting, you observe something. Every time I say something about my life, it doesn't transfer to you. You say it about your life. So I say it again, my life is getting better. Pray in the Holy Ghost, please. Look at this scripture. I was so sure that's what I want to say. I was sure. David said David to the Philistine. Now see David talking to this a small boy. Talking to a big man. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Verse 46. This day, imagine talking. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. And I will smite thee. I will take thy head from thee. And I will give the hands of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 46 or 47. And this all the assembly shall know that the Lord saved not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you. Imagine a man talking to you like that. This was the first that intimidated Goliath. A small boy talking with that kind of confidence. Now, you don't have any Goliath physically standing before you, but you have your health issue. You have your finance issue. You have your family situation. You have all the things standing there. What are you going to say? Hallelujah. What I wanted to show you is this. Every situation in your life is talking to you. Mark 11, 13. This is the last scripture. Mark 11, 13. And seeing a victory afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of feast was not yet. Verse 14, let's read everybody. Stop. This always blesses me better read it. Jesus, when you hear the word answer, it means something, somebody spoke for you to answer. But in the previous verse, nobody spoke to him. He just saw the victory and he answered. That tells you every situation is talking to you. It depends on what the answer you're going to give. Jesus answered and said. So your health just spoke to you. What will you answer? Your result just spoke to you. What are you going to answer? You write jam, you got 138. Now, another jam is coming out. What are you going to answer? Because that result I just saw, just spoke to you. You don't know what he told you. He told you you were a failure. He told you you can never make it. What are you going to answer? What are you going to answer? This is 4 days where we're going to respond to life situations with boldness. And look at it again. Jesus said, no man eats fruit of thee hereafter. What the Bible said? And his disciples. So that's, he didn't whisper it in his heart. Faith is bold. That's what I'm trying to make. He didn't say, no fruit of thee is your faith. He said boldly. Everybody heard. Everybody heard. When Paul and Silas got to the prison and they began to sing and pray, Bible said they sang and prayed, and the prisoners heard them. That's faith. It is bold. It doesn't just say, ah, in Jesus' name, God, they were praying and singing loudly. You got to have some boldness in your speech. And I tell you, things are going to change. I said, things are going to change. I said, things are going to change. Say with me, say, my life is getting better. Now, this is not the time to be a phlegmatic. This time to be bold. Say, my life is getting better. Raise your right hand. Say, my life is getting better. I am on an upward movement only. I'm above only. I will not be below. I'm moving ahead. Nothing stops me. Not the devil, not circumstances, not tribulations. My life is getting better and getting better and getting better and getting better. Raise your voice and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Blast it us wherever you are. Jebele garaba dobre dalababa zumbrata shakatayaba. You must pray with boldness. Pray, 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 pray. 2 more minutes. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm just charging you up for what happened this week, these 4 days. Pray. Ela baba raba la baraba dala bashindere dele be kambra taya. Don't watch this go wrong. You pray. You're a man of faith, a woman of faith. That's who you are. Christianity is powered by faith. Your life should be powered by faith. The believer's life should be powered by faith. The believer's life should be powered by faith. We don't watch the situation. We don't settle. We power our lives by faith. We switch things around by faith. We switch this around by faith. I've still got joy. Whoosh. I need to hear you. I can't hear you. Pray. We're going to sing that song and rejoice to it before we go. The Christian life is powered by faith. Your finances should be powered by faith. Your health powered by faith. I'm hearing it in the Holy Ghost. My supplies powered by faith. My academics powered by faith. My life powered by faith. My life powered by faith.
Faithful through every season.
Yes.
I'll put my life on Jesus.
Yes, all over this place.
You devil, it's faithful through generations.
Yeah.
So I will hear.
Hallelujah. So we're going to learn this song. We're going to rejoice to it tonight. That song in my spirit. I've still got joy in chaos. I don't know what is happening, but that's how it talks. I've got peace that makes no sense. I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength. I've put my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through every season. So why will he start falling now? He can't fail me. Woo!
Would he fail now? I've still got joy in chaos. I love him. That makes no sense. I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength. I've put my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. Faithful through every season. So I won't fail. I'm not here.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.